The reading from the Hebrew Bible is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 to 12. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there, and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. The Gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 25. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. And the contemporary reading is from the heart of Henri Nouwen, quotes from this Catholic contemplative book, The Sabbatical Journey. Generosity has many levels. We have to think generously, speak generously, and act generously. Thinking well of others and speaking well of others is the basis for generous giving. It means that we relate to others as part of our gen or kin and treat them as family. Generosity cannot come from guilt or pity. It has to come from hearts that are fearless and free and are willing to share abundantly all that is given to us. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
And I'm feeling rebuked that I didn't think, didn't think generously about the numbers of orders of service. And three or four people have just come in and won't have found an order of service at the back, including the one that's just come in. So those of you who live in the same house, if you could share, and Peter, perhaps you could collect, we need about three or four. And people who don't have one, you could put your hand up like this and we'll share them around. See, a perfect lesson in generosity. Isn't that lovely? Thank you. Any more? Anyone else need one? Okay, good. You may have got all the bits and pieces that go inside, or you may not have, so there still might be a gap. And oh, I've got a whole spare one here. Who else wants one? You? One? No? Okay. And so now Lynn Dovey, our parish council convener, is going to speak to us. So that's where we are on the program. We'll now have Lynn, the passing of the peace, and Paul, and then we'll be turning the page, and two of the people who do things around the place will be talking to us.
Good morning, everyone. I want to reflect this morning on how we operate as a faith community. That is, how we organise and run our church and its related activities, and why. What motivates us to do this? This is especially appropriate given that our annual general meeting follows morning tea, and I hope many of you will attend that. Our annual report, which we will be presenting, provides a glimpse of what happens behind the scenes, as well as front of house, to borrow a theatrical analogy. The report sets out in summary what we have aspired to do and what we have achieved between the 1st of July last year and the 30th of June this year. We hope it is informative reading for everyone, and we look forward to your questions and a good discussion about it later on. So how do we organise ourselves to operate here at St Andrews on the Terrace? Well, we are fortunate in having Susan as a full-time and experienced minister. We also employ several members of staff, Letitia, our centre manager, and her team, to support Susan's work in running the church and to run the St Andrews Centre. And as an aside, because Susan will do the formalities later on, I want to acknowledge Karen Bishop, who is here this morning, so we can farewell her. Karen has been our office administrator for 2.5 years. I think that's right, Karen, isn't it? Maybe a little longer. She had her last day with us on Friday, and we are grateful for her contribution to the running of the office and the centre during the time that she has been with us. The reason we have this capable team is because the renting of our rooms and the spaces here bring in sufficient income to fund our activities. So in that sense, the church and the centre are closely intertwined. While other churches do this too, it is a departure from the very traditional way of generating a church income, which was through the weekly collection of offerings. Paul is going to talk about this further, but suffice to say at this point that the money we collect weekly is nowhere near enough to run our operation. So in that sense, we are a modern church, a 21st century church, if you like, that has, through necessity, moved away from that church tradition. But generating income and having a professional paid team are not the end of it. We also rely heavily on the work of volunteers. Every church, and indeed many other organisations, do this. And the fact that we rely on volunteers does not make us stand out especially. Did you know that in 2013 and 14, volunteers across New Zealand contributed more than 1 million hours per week to charities delivering social services across the country? That figure does not even include sports clubs. We are a nation of volunteers, and I think we should be proud of that as New Zealanders. I know that many of you offer your time and energy to a wide variety of activities and organisations, and for that I salute you. We're going to hear from several of our volunteers today, but let me explore briefly why it is that people give generously of their time, energy, talents, and other resources to St Andrews on the Terrace. And to those of you who have offered your services in the past and now provide encouragement and support to those coming forward, thank you. What distinguishes us at St Andrews perhaps is that we have a wide range of volunteers who perform a very wide range of activities. So why do people volunteer? Let's start with the notion of generosity. The front page of the Order of Service provides us with a definition. It suggests that generosity means free in giving or sharing and or noble. Giving is a well enough recognised concept, but I did go to the dictionary to check a second definition of noble, as I don't think of aristocratic rank, title or birth was what was meant. No, indeed, the meaning of noble in this context is more likely to be, as the Oxford Dictionary suggests, having or showing fine personal qualities or high moral principles and ideals. That sounds more like it. These are, of course, secular definitions, but they are useful to us all the same in the context of our faith community, where we do espouse high moral principles and ideals. These are set down in our mission and values and under our six pillars, which are spelt out in the annual report. Giving, however, is a complex notion, as we might discern from our readings this morning. Our first reading suggests to me that if we are fortunate in our lives, we have an obligation to give thanks by providing for others less fortunate. It also introduces the notion of tithing. I suggest that the modern equivalent of tithing is the welfare state in a democratic system of government. Those who work pay taxes commensurate with their income so that all may enjoy a good education, a modern health system, and welfare benefits. As someone who's about to start collecting universal superannuation, I consider myself very fortunate to be living in a country where this is available. Tithing is still practiced by many churches too, as I understand it. It's not a concept that we at St Andrews have ever embraced, though, as far as I'm aware. We are more comfortable with the notion of stewardship. That is, our ability to take care of St Andrews on the Terrace. Not just the buildings, but the entire institution, which includes our faith. This is not least because we Presbyterians have a well-honed sense of running things efficiently and effectively. Anyone who's studied the Book of Order will know this. Volunteers make an enormously important contribution to the way we run things. This includes those who serve on parish council and its committees and subgroups, on the Sunday rosters, who are pastoral care partners, and those who participate in worship and the many other activities that comprise our enormously rich range of activities and offerings. Our second reading suggests to me that power and patronage are all very well and may benefit a privileged few, but that giving without a generous heart and without regard to the welfare of the wider community is not ultimately going to go well. This reading also suggests to me that expecting something in return for giving is not a recipe for universal success. And our contemporary reading reminds us that generosity is indeed more than being about money and patronage. We have to think generously, speak generously, and act generously. I'd like to think that our system of volunteer service here at St Andrews is about the latter. Thinking, speaking, and acting generously from the heart. There is no one single way of doing this. People's motivations and circumstances are all different. Often we give to the things and causes we feel passionate about. Passion is a very good reason to give. So why do we choose to give our time, energy, talents, or money? As I've said, we will all have our different reasons, but here are mine. First and foremost, I support the mission and values of St Andrew's on the Terrace and the activities we engage in to bring our aspirations to fruition. I like being a part of a whole which is greater than the sum of the parts. I like the breadth of activities that we support and the collective voice that allows us to speak to the city and to the nation on occasion. In a world where the focus on the individual is in danger of eclipsing the focus on the collective, St Andrew's on the Terrace has something important to say about the value of community and of teamwork. I want to add my voice and heft to these things. I want to support Susan and her team. As a member of the Ministry Settlement Board that called Susan, I feel a responsibility to ensure that she has enough resources to do her job well. I want to give back, and I'm fortunate to have the time and resources now to do that. I'd like to think that I have something useful to offer in the overall stewardship of our faith community. And I share that very Presbyterian value of ensuring that we run our institution well. And finally, I want to support the next generation of volunteers to step up and take on some of the roles that others have held, so that our faith community, in all its diversity, continues to thrive.
Thank you, Lynn. We're about to pass the piece, which we do very enthusiastically here, so don't be afraid if people enthusiastically come up to you to greet you. But just before we do, I'd like to pass on news about Frances Porter. After the seminar on Friday night, she needed to go to hospital because of extreme pain from an old artificial hip, and it has turned out that the hip has jumped out of its socket, which was causing extreme pain. So she's in hospital and she's fine now because she's free of pain. She'll be having a scan and there will be surgery scheduled. She's in Ward 6, but she's in a good place, and there's a message particularly for us at the AGM, but I thought the wider congregation might also like to know that. So pass the peace amongst yourselves and imagine Frances doing it too. One of the huge volunteer tasks at a church like St Andrew's is treasurer, and Paul Barber is going to speak to us now. Thank you, Paul, and thank you for being treasurer.
Yeah, well, in a service that's got a theme about giving, somebody had to talk about money, and I'm the treasurer, so I guess I can't really get around it. So this morning I just want for a couple of minutes just to share with you a few thoughts about giving money and the reasons why giving money is important. I want to speak from my own experience and perspective and offer it to you as something to respond to when considering your own giving. And it will echo many of the themes you're going to hear, you've heard from Lynn, and you'll hear from others today, I'm sure. I want to talk first of all about the fact that, you know, I give with that sense of gratitude for this community that I deeply value. That is where my spirit and my faith is truly nourished. And I see, as those of us who are members of this community, our job is to ensure that this ministry can continue to create this nourishing spiritual home that it is. We're so grateful and so lucky, fortunate, blessed to have people like Susan and Vivian and Jess, who are perhaps on the Sundays the more direct faces of our ministry, along with Letitia and Karen, Hillary, Lillian, Pete, and Mark and the team of cleaners as well, that help keep this place a welcoming space. And they need the security of knowing that we value their work, and our financial support is a really direct way of showing that. Another reason I give is out of that sense of personal gratitude that I am fortunate enough to have something to share and to give away. We live in an unequal country, in a very unequal world. I personally live in privilege in comparison to most of the population of this country, and certainly compared to most of the world's population. I most certainly, surely do not need more, and undoubtedly have enough to share. And I give to support a vision to transform the world, to move closer to the vision of Jesus of Nazareth, who came to bring good news to the poor, the outcast and the oppressed. Simply being a welcoming community that we are, welcoming for all, helps make part of that vision real. Every act of justice we as a community can create, be it hosting a peace workshop, paying a living wage, helping welcome refugee families, advocating for inclusion for LGBTI people, planting a community garden, or buying fair trade tea and coffee. Those acts of justice are built on that common foundation of our life as a community. I also give because we're part of that wider communion of Christian churches across the planet. Our particular hapu, our tribe, is the Presbyterian Church in Aotearoa, New Zealand. It shares that 2,000 years of common Christian heritage with millions of others around the world, and we're all bound together in the body of Christ in the spirit of love, and that's greater than the sum of all our differences. So that great shared reconciling task of reconciling love needs cash as well as prayers. At the AGM later, we'll talk plenty about numbers, so I don't want to add too many numbers today, and I just want to ask you to think about a challenge that we set ourselves, as far as I can remember, about the time I became treasurer, which is getting close to 10 years ago now. And so half of you here today will probably may not have been here at the time of that commitment, so I invite you to consider it. As members of this community, we need to meet the costs of at least the stipend and salaries of our direct ministry team. And when we made that commitment 10 years ago, it lifted the planned giving from around $50,000 a year to $75,000 a year over a space of 3 years. It was amazing. It was a great start. But we've kind of got a little bit stuck since then. And if we're going to reach this goal again, we're going to have to lift our giving again. And to get closer to something like $115,000, which would be a nearly 50% increase. Can we do that? It's a question to ask for us to consider in our thinking ahead. And I know many of you here today already give and give generously, but this message is to all of us. We're not to become complacent. We are to set ourselves goals to build our vision of community, to build that community of love and justice, to strive for those goals, forgive ourselves when we don't achieve them, and celebrate the milestones along the way. We're never going to reach the full vision of God's commonwealth of love and justice, yet the strange and spooky thing is, by striving to get there, we're actually already living it. And let's give in that spirit. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. We are going to hear during the service from people who do things as opposed to put money in the plate, although they may also do that too. As minister, I know nothing about that. And the first one of those is Lynn Burrell, and I'm going to stand beside her because Lynn's one of those people that prefers to do things rather than talk about it. And this is an act of great courage and bravery.
My name is Lynette Burrell, and I have been a member of St Andrews since the late 80s. and have served as a welcomer along with Brian, my husband, for many years. I enjoy being the welcoming face at the door, meeting and greeting folk as they arrive for the service. I take pride in being able to greet people by their name, which is made easier for all welcomers if people wear their name badge. When an unfamiliar person is welcomed, I ask if they are visiting and where they are from, and introduce them to another congregational member so I can continue to welcome others, and if possible, to let Susan know of their presence with us. On special occasions, such as Easter and Christmas Eve, it is a real buzz for me to welcome former members of St Andrews as they return to worship with us. This, I'm sure, makes them feel especially welcome to be greeted by a familiar face. That's the easy and fun part of welcoming. Prior to this, along with others, the church needs to be set up for the service. Importantly, making sure, especially in winter, the gas heaters are purring to keep us toasty warm. After the service, while the happy chatter continues, I buzz around tidying up until I determine it's time for all to leave, and slowly the lights are turned off, and finally the big doors are closed. My welcoming duty is over, and I happily leave the church neat and tidy, very often to be used for a concert that afternoon, like this afternoon there is a concert here. So that's my...
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Lynn. And your service is appreciated. Remember that about the name tags, everybody. And Andrew Matthews is going to speak to us. He's one of the parish councillors, and he'll talk about how that is for him and how it came about and whatever else he's chosen to say.
I've chosen to say very little, really, except because you're going to hear quite a bit about the parish council in our annual meeting, those of you who are able to stay for that. And it's already been alluded to in part that... In my case too, some have some time available and some expertise to offer. And the parish council continues to work not just on at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, but through a range of activities right through the weekend and through the month. And as you'll see in the annual report, there are a range of groups or pillars or subcommittees that are formed where people have some expertise and time to offer. And so it might be in worship or in pastoral care, in education and reflection, spirit and the arts, faith and action, which sometimes is about social justice. And then, of course, as Paul has alluded to, we're an enterprise that has facilities, and with facilities you need facilities management. And that's also linked closely, of course, with resources. Some of the discussion today about giving is related to resources, both financial but also in kind. And so these days, of course, as soon as you've got an enterprise with resources, you're also into and underneath the Health and Safety Act. And so there are issues of health and safety, and where do we fit, and do we comply? It means that we're employing staff, and if you employ staff, it means we have contracts. And so again, it calls on expertise given by those with the expertise and the time to do so that help us with the ministry of this church. And so I just, in alluding to those pillars, we say that if you have some time and expertise, consider giving some of that to the mission and future of this place.